From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain Daily. I'm Jacqueline Maley. It's Tuesday, June the 9th. On Sunday, 933 awards were bestowed for the 2020 Queen's Birthday Honours. Among the recipients were former Prime Minister Tony Abbott, former Liberal Minister Bronwyn Bishop, former Labor Minister Graham Richardson, and retired journalist Mike Carlton. I'm joined now by Chief Political Correspondent David Crowe.
David, when the Queen's Birthday Honours list was announced yesterday, there were a lot of former politicians on the list. Is that common with Order of Australia honours?
It is common. It's quite common for people who've served in Parliament as ministers, as Speaker of the House of Representatives, for instance, in Bronwyn Bishop's case, to receive awards. Of course, it's routine for the former Prime Minister to be made a companion of the Order of Australia, the AC, the highest award. And we've seen that with Julia Gillard a couple of years ago. We saw that with Kevin Rudd last year. So it was really just a matter of time before the same thing happened with Tony Abbott.
The honours are announced twice a year on Australia Day and then the Queen's birthday holiday. And we also had some controversy on Australia Day this year with the announcement that Bettina Arndt was awarded a member of the Order of Australia. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, there was controversy about some of her remarks about women who've suffered violence and abuse at the hands of men and her support for the men's rights movement. It's made her a figure of incredible contention, and that led to strong criticism of the award that was given to her in January at Australia Day. Of course, there's no update about what's happened with that. What I found when talking to other journalists about this issue going back years is that they announce when awards are handed out. They never announce when award is taken away. So the status of that award given to Bettina Arndt is actually a mystery. It's subject to review, and we really don't know whether that award is still there or has been removed. The Australia Day debate really sharpened the focus on what is the process by which people are made a companion of the Order or a member of the Order of Australia. There's a nomination process, but it's not public. Anybody can nominate, which is a wonderful thing, but nobody has any scrutiny about how they're decided. And I guess that debate is back on again this week because there was a heavy weighting in the Queen's Birthday Honours to Liberals. We saw awards not only go to Tony Abbott, but to Bronwyn Bishop, Philip Ruddock, another former cabinet minister, to Dennis Napthine, the Liberal former Victorian Premier, and to Mike Baird, the former Liberal Premier of New South Wales. So also, I might add, to Andrew Burns, who was the honorary treasurer of the Liberal Party at a federal level and is the director of a travel company, Hello World. So all these people received awards. There was only one that went to a senior Labor figure, Graham Richardson. So it really does start a whole new debate about the process for handing out these awards. Does it need to be fixed? Why isn't there, inside the system, the kind of automatic check that would realise that common sense dictates that a more bipartisan approach to handing out awards would be much safer and much more likely to continue to have community acceptance?
That was sort of my next question, I suppose, because we did see after the Bettina Arndt Award, there were some MPs who wrote to the Council for the Order of Australia and asked for that to be reviewed. Shane Stone, who's the chair of that council, himself, of course, a former Liberal politician, said they were taking the correspondence and they would respond to the correspondence in time, but they weren't going to do a running commentary on it. But you're saying basically from everyone you're speaking to in Canberra, nobody's heard anything back from the council about that.
No, there's no public process about that. You know, there were no hearings, but also there's no disclosure of documents about any consideration of the requests that have been put in to withdraw an award. So therefore, you wait, and maybe it's never actually confirmed. I mean, the Governor-General's office at Yarralumla is kind of shut off from the normal processes of government scrutiny, even though we know from history that awards have always had that political factor in decisions. I found it fascinating when writing about the award to Tony Abbott. It led me off on a little historical excursion into Knights and Dames, and there was a wonderful piece by Anne Toomey about the pressure that was put on Billy McMahon to hand out not just knighthoods but baronies so that Aussies who got them could sit in the House of Lords in London. I mean, it's always been an issue where there's been political factors at work.
Yeah, because as you say, the process is at arm's length from government. It's conducted by an independent panel that's under the auspices of the Governor General's office. So it's sort of theoretically nothing to do with politics. But Matthias Cormann is an ex officio member of that panel. And basically you're saying that even though it's sort of under the auspices of the Governor General, it's not devoid of politics.
It's hard to see how it can be. Is it only an accident that Liberals get acknowledged in this way this year in the Queen's Birthday Honours, and only Graeme Richardson from Labor. Mind you, there are other Labor people at the next rank down, but I'm focusing here on the Companion of the Order, where there were three people named, including Tony Abbott, and the next level down, the AO, where there were maybe about 50 who were named. So that's where I'm focused on, the very most senior rank.
Another criticism, of course, that's been made of the honours process is it skews very male, and men historically and now are much more likely to be awarded honours than women. You wrote about this yesterday, David, that I think you said about 28% of the honours this year went to women, which of course is not anywhere near 50-50.
Yeah, I found it really interesting and also saddening to go through the list when I had the embargoed list and I was writing the story on Sunday. Now, in the three ACs at the top, there's Tony Abbott, but there's also Naomi Milgram, a philanthropist in Melbourne, and there's Belinda Hutchinson, the Chancellor of the University of Sydney. Deserving women. So two out of three of the very top awards went to women. But it was in the next rank down in the AO category where there was an incredible skew towards men. And that's why you end up with only 28% of those top two ranks being women. Now, the Governor General's office put out a press release saying 41% of the awards went to women. But you know why that is? It's because the very lowest rank, which I think is the most valuable rank, which is the medal of the Order of Australia, for community people, for people out there in country towns doing volunteer work with Meals on Wheels. That's heavily skewed towards women. And that's why you get an overall ratio of 41% women getting awards. But why are those top ones all going to the blokes? I could not see a rational explanation for that. There were certainly some very deserving women getting AOs. One of them I should mention, a professor called Suzanne Crowe, who's no relation, but it was wonderful to see a Crowe in the mix. You know, there's some good people being recognised, but so few women was really disturbing, even though there is that group, Honour a Woman, that encourages people to put in nominations for women. But it's obviously not having enough effect. The nomination process actually doesn't look too hard. I mean, I think everybody should be filling it out. It's an online form, and you click through and you can name somebody. I haven't done it, but I had a look at the form, given my concerns about what I saw in the list. But to me, the whole award this year, the Queen's Birthdays list, was just another reminder of how the most valuable awards often go with that medal to somebody who's doing the work in the community.
Absolutely. And as you say, this group, Honour a Woman, is trying very hard to push more nominations of women. And I think that they have pushed a process in the Victorian government whereby they're trying to even up the nominations process on a sort of more formal level. Do you see any acknowledgement or any effort being taken on behalf of the Governor General or the Council of the Order of Australia to redress this imbalance, the gender imbalance?
No, they've kind of patted themselves on the back with the statement that they put out from the Governor General's office saying, look, we're addressing it and we're really focused on it and it's improving. But I think the point that the Honour a Woman organisation is making is that it really needs to be a structural solution. There needs to be mechanisms in place and a systemic approach to even things up. And I think we're seeing evidence that they're right, that it's not enough just to encourage nominations. There's something that needs to be done at the decision-making end and a more structured process to make sure that there's equal representation when the decisions are made.
And I should say as well that I've put in an FOI on the Bettina Arndt nomination, and I've also tried to ring every single member of the Council of the Order of Australia, and I haven't received responses on either of those things.
Oh, can I ask a question of you then, Jack?
Mm.
You can't FOI the Governor-General's office, can you?
I don't think you can. I did put in an FOI about that because I thought the Council of the Order of Australia might be FOI-able, but as I say, I haven't received a response.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised if they were going to open up their deliberations or even the nominations forms that they receive to a journalist.
Yeah.
As you say, when you look into it, the process is very, very opaque, and it's actually kind of shockingly opaque when you think that it's done on behalf of all Australians and Australian taxpayers.
And we're meant to trust it. And so therefore, if they want to retain that trust with an opaque system, they've really got to, I think, ensure that they're acting much faster on, I guess, the fairness of the overall decisions.
Yeah, certainly not an issue that's going to go away. I think it will continue to remain controversial until something is done. David, such an interesting discussion as always, and I will let you get back to your other very pressing work. Thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers, Jackie.
Today's episode of Please Explain Daily was produced by Yuji Shimada and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald work tirelessly to cover the news that matters. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Jacqueline Maley. Thank you for listening.